Matthew chapter 15. We will read verses 21 through 28. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. She won't clean her room. She won't even put up her clothes. She refuses to help around the house at all. Sweep the floor, you might as well be talking to the walls. And that temper, she just flies off the handle in a heartbeat. Sometimes she seems to be growling like some deranged animal, and I'm fearful for her and for myself. I've taken her to the best doctors I can afford, and we have even visited some fortune teller down the street. Nobody wants her around the children. She's got no friends, and the rabbi walks the other way when he sees us coming. I'm so tired. I'm so worried and at my wit's end. Tell me, what's a mother to do for her? After all, she's still my baby. I know that none of us have ever felt that way about our children and about our lives. Right? To a lot of smiles. And you may be thinking that the text today is a strange one for a Mother's Day reflection. But try to imagine for a few moments the lives of the Syrophoenician or Canaanite woman and her daughter were experiencing. And let's look at the answer she found when, at her wit's end, she wondered, what's a mother to do? Unfortunately, being in situations of such uncertainty is a part of living, especially living as a caring person. Regardless of what great hopes we have, we know that there will be times when we are in circumstances in which we are at our wit's end, not really knowing what else to do. And moms tend to be prone to that kind of worry about their families. Now, that is not to say that men never are that way. Sometimes we are. But think about pictures of caring, loving parents. And generally the first one that comes to mind is a picture of a caring, loving, and worried mom. Our 31-year-old son, when he gets sick, still calls Dr. Mom before he'll go to the doctor. Ask, "What should I take? What do I need to do?" When the baby's sick, no matter how old they are, mom worries. When they're late coming home, or returning home from a trip, mom worries. when they drive off by themselves for the first time in the car. Or when there is worry about unfavorable behavior. Or when that daughter goes on the first date. Mom worries and dad paces. We all know of those stories. And if we took the time, we would all have plenty of stories to add to that brief list in memories of moms and grandmoms, or perhaps sometimes even aunts and close friends. We also know the stories where a mom prayed and prayed, sometimes for years, for a child to accept God in Jesus. I was reading a report recently, a survey that was done by the Barna Group. Some of you may be aware of that group. They do a lot of religious surveys. And the results of this particular survey announced, the headline was, "Moms tend to be more spiritual than dads." Now, I'm not saying dads are not, but they looked at 12 different areas, different elements of faith, behavior, and perspectives, and women tended to score higher in 11 of those 12. Some of those were that moms were more likely to say they had been greatly transformed by their faith publicly than men were. That faith is very important to their life, that they are absolutely committed to their Christian walk, and that they embrace a personal responsibility to share that faith with others, especially their children and other family members. They were found to be more likely to attend church regularly, pray faithfully, read the Bible daily, attend Sunday school, volunteer time to nonprofits, and participate in Bible studies outside of Sunday school. Mothers in the boomer generation, 42 to 60 years old, overall have a higher spiritual involvement than those in the age 23 to 41 category. But both showed high spiritual commitments and a high sense of spirituality when compared with others. 3/4 identified family as a top priority and faith as extremely important in developing family life. But then again, that shouldn't come as any surprise to we who know things about WMU and other organizations within the church and the good things, the ways they have kept the church going. As a matter of fact, there would be many folks that would not be in vocational ministry were it not for mothers, aunts, grandmothers, GA leaders, Sunday school teachers, women leading out as moms. As moms. In fact, I can think of some rather prominent ministers that are even on TV who have said, were it not for the woman who prayed for them, or in one particular instance, the woman that was preaching the night that he made a profession of faith, he would not be in vocational ministry. Women are oftentimes spiritual backbones in the church. And according to the survey, they're more likely to attend, be involved, and contribute than many other people, because they truly care about the souls and the spirits and all the life of their children. So what's a mother to do? Back to the question. Because you see, this Syrophoenician woman, if she worshipped any god at all, probably worshipped Canaanite gods. But she had heard of this Jesus. She had heard of the care that he had, not only for women, but the care that he had for children. And she was at her wit's end. What's a mother to do? And what did she do? like many moms, she threw away her whole idea of self-esteem or ego, and she went against custom, approaching Jesus publicly, even daring to speak to him in public. The disciples tried to keep her away, and they all seemed taken aback and shocked that this woman would come up, this Canaanite woman, and approach Jesus and speak to him in public. In fact, Jesus almost seems to be a little surprised here. And he responds with what seems to be something of a harsh response. I only came to the house of Israel. Even at one point mentioning dogs. In Matthew's version here, if you compare Mark chapter 7, the disciples are not very helpful. And they don't seem to be very caring. She's nagging us. She's a bother to us. Send her away. Jesus seems to be exclusivistic. I came only to the house of Israel. The mom, however, is not deterred because of the love and the care that she has for that daughter. She gets down on her knees in a submissive position of prayer and pleading, to which Jesus says, I didn't come to dogs. But not being deterred, that mom put a positive spin on that and said, but even dogs get to eat the crumbs from the master's table. Please, sir, please heal my daughter. And Jesus looked at her with caring eyes. Then he looked around at the disciples. As he looked back to her, he mentions her great faith. Her great faith that was more than her own self-esteem. Her great faith that was more than all of those guys around there. Her great faith that Jesus could do something to help her child. And he gives dignity and healing. Not only to her daughter, but Jesus gives dignity and healing to her wounded spirit as well. And lifts her up, giving her hope, giving her life. There's no doubt in Matthew that faith in whomever it is found is highly prized, especially faith that is so deep, that comes from such a wellspring of love in one's heart, that they will go beyond conventional customs to seek healing from God. And that faith contributes to the healing. Matthew recognizes and stresses that the great faith of the woman is superior to the dullness and the misunderstanding, even of Jesus' closest followers. And she is praised as she selflessly seeks good. As we reflect this day on our moms, as I said earlier, I'm sure that we can all have many stories to tell. To tell about times when our mom or our grandmom or maybe an aunt or maybe a Sunday school teacher who was not biologically connected to us but spiritually loved us as their child. Reached out, touched, prayed, held us up, and bowed down before Christ and said, please, this child is in need. Heal. May our mind's eye remember the faithfulness, the selfless giving, the caring that goes beyond to a love and a commitment to God. And may we find ourselves following even the example of the Syrophoenician woman. This mom whose faith brought her closer to Jesus from whom she found healing for her daughter and for herself. And may that same example serve for you and me as we seek, when we're at our wit's end, or even before we get there, to fall down in front of Christ and plead for His grace. Never pray. Heavenly Father, we do come to You sometimes, well, maybe very often, guilty of not coming to You when we need to do so, of not praying as diligently as we need, of not being as faithful in sharing our lives with You and with others. Help us, Lord, to look at this woman's great faith, her great love and care, a love and care that caused her to go beyond what was considered the norm and to find healing and dignity in the work of Christ. May we find that same healing. And may we find within our mother's love and care the guidance that helps us get there. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 451, Christian Home. As we sing, our altar is open for any who would make profession of faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, for any who would come and join this fellowship or rededicate themselves. Hymn number 451, A Christian Home.